welcome, friends, to another episode of Hispanic Wealth Matters. I am your host, Jose Tejada, and this is the first episode of the year, the first new episode of 2024. And as promised, I am bringing you the best guest in the city to talk to. And today we have a gentleman that I've met recently, but have been very impressed by, Chef Miguel Reyes. Welcome, Chef.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, Jose. I appreciate the opportunity and excited to be here with you.
Awesome. Awesome. So we start every episode with the origin story. So what's your origin story? Where did you start?
In this industry, I started close to almost 18 years ago. Started washing dishes at a hometown buffet right after high school, you know. Being a young kid at the age of 18, you're like, what's the next step after high school? A lot of them were applying to McDonald's, you know, fast food places, the mall. And I was like, I wanted something a little bit more fast paced. So I went to go apply at a restaurant to see how it was. And I remember they offered me a position to clean salads, to restock salads and all that. And I only lasted about a month. I was like, I need something different. You know, growing up in a Hispanic household, bro, my parents always kept me on my toes. You know, my dad was at work. He made sure that when he got home, X, Y, and Z was done. You know, make sure your bed was done. Make sure the car was washed or something, you know. Just
were you born here or were you born somewhere else?
Here, yeah.
Okay. Would you say it was a very strict upbringing with that?
I think so. You know, me being the oldest, I think I was like the guinea pig.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm the oldest too.
Yeah. So it was just very, they expected a lot, you know, myself, my brothers, and in regards to being disciplined from a young age. Work ethics, you know, since we're outside cleaning the yard with my dad, washing the cars, doing our bed, helping mom, you know, everything was very organized at home in that sense. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you're young, you're not understanding why. But now that I'm older, I'm an adult, everything, all the schooling started there. All the basics, the fundamentals, the work ethic, the discipline started there. And then when I started working for people or companies, I started implementing everything I learned as a kid. And it works, bro.
Well, so I've been lucky enough to eat your cooking and to come to your restaurant. That is a big distance from Hometown Buffet. What happened after Hometown Buffet?
You know, it was funny, bro, because I would get picked on a lot. I was young, and obviously Spanish is my first language, dominated well. And then I learned English, obviously, at the schools. But when you're working in the restaurant industry, you have... In the kitchen, you have a lot of all the Hispanics, you know, 90% don't speak English, 95%. Okay. So you have me, the only one that speaks Spanish and English. And I would get picked on a lot because they were like, why are you back here? You should be a server. You know, you should be making tips. You should go be out here. What are you doing washing dishes? You know? So from there, I started getting in tune with the, you could say the Latino community right then and there with all the Hispanics back there.
So I'm always fascinated by like micro communities, right? Like I'm the guy that loves watching the jail documentaries, right? And I think a kitchen has its own probably societal kind of community in it. Its own set of rules. So did they see you as a leader of that, or did they see you as not a leader of them?
No, honestly, no. I was actually I always learned to adapt myself to any different situation. I was young, bro, so I hadn't developed any leadership skills at all. It was more of a how can I learn from them? You know, those are my first teachers in the culinary world. And then I noticed that everybody had two full-time jobs, one in the morning, one in the evening. And I was like, what am I doing at 18 years old with one job? You know? So from there I jumped over to Acapulco restaurants. I think you still have one or two out there still, but Acapulco Mexican restaurant and another dishwashing position / prep. I started getting introduced to prep, you know, from there I took off, bro. And it's been since then that I hit probably 12 years. I hit 12 years straight, full-time, two full-time jobs. In between, I opened up two businesses. So I never really stopped. And this industry is like this, very demanding in that sense. So I think that, I was able to go from Hometown Buffet to Acapulco to different restaurants, to different living centers. I worked at universities. I was a high school teacher in between. I opened up a catering business, then a private dinner, private chef dinner business. I did the traveling, I did the celebrities, the influencers, and then now up to date, we're here with the restaurant.
So yeah. When it comes to food, I know that it's, like you said, it's a very demanding business, especially when you're working privately. Was there ever a point where you disconnected from the love of the work itself because of the demand?
No, honestly, I people ask me this all the time. It was totally the opposite. I would go to sleep after I would get home and try to go to sleep after a 16, 17 hour day. And I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait till it was morning so I can get up and go to work and do it all over
again. So you know you don't have a job, right?
Yeah.
You love what you do, so you don't work a day in your life.
I haven't, honestly, in almost 18 years, I haven't worked a day in my life, bro. I can tell
you that. I love that. What connects you to food?
The joy of seeing people enjoy it. And that's the reason, I don't know if I'm getting myself ahead on the interview, but the reason for the name of the restaurant, Gozo, joy. So I love, that's the reason I put the name to the restaurant. I love to see people be happy, enjoying good food.
Yeah. And you know what? It radiates from you. When I met you in person and you did a live, so for the audience, you did a live cooking experience along with another friend that we have in common. And it was irradiated from you that you really enjoyed what you were doing and what you were creating. And my wife, who was with me that day and loves food and loves cooking, she mentioned that to me. She said, you can see the passion in what he does. When you see someone have that after a decade plus of doing the same thing, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I saw a photo of you with a very young chef, Miguel Reyes, with another gentleman, and I couldn't catch his name because you didn't mention his name, but you were saying that you gave him credit for teaching you the basics of the business of a kitchen and the finance of a kitchen. Tell us what that means.
So I worked under him for about 7 years, 6-7 years of that time frame that was in the kitchens. He gave me my first opportunity to be a chef. So
can we give him a name? What's his name?
Yeah, his name is Jesus Gutierrez. So he's actually one of my first mentors in the industry as a chef. And when I was 23 years old, I bumped into him. There was a position for a chef, you can say, or a kitchen manager at a hotel, a smaller hotel. And it was a sister property to the one across the street with the one he was running, which was a much bigger hotel. And he was in charge of both of them, overseeing both of them. But he needed somebody to be in charge of the smaller one. So he's the one that told me, you know what? There's opportunity. Somebody sent me the post. I applied. He called me in and he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you a chance. There's other people applying with a lot more experience. I had no experience as a chef. I had no experience managing the kitchen, let alone managing a group of people that are older than three of my parents. You know, you go to a kitchen with guys 20, 30 years plus industry, and I was probably 5-6 years in. You know what I mean? And I thought in my ignorance as a young chef, I was like, I know what I'm doing. But when I hit the real world and you hit, like, you know, you talk about numbers, talking about logistics, talking about scheduling, I don't know what the hell I was talking about, you know? So he gave me an opportunity. And till this day, I feel like I owe him a lot, because if I didn't know that part about the industry, I wouldn't have made it. Because for me, I've always said it, to be a chef is not somebody that cooks. I don't believe that. Somebody that's a chef, somebody that doesn't wear the chef coat is not a chef. If you don't know how to cost out a menu, if you don't know how to budget, if you don't know how to put a price to food to hit the menu where people come and sit down, it costs $12, $15. If you don't know how to get that number, if you don't know how to manage a team, if you don't know how to schedule according to business, schedule the employees, I think it's more than just cooking to be a chef. Because at that point, you're becoming a business owner. Regardless if you're running a business or you're being a chef for a hotel or a restaurant, you have to know all these things. It's not just knowing how to cook. Cooking is the least of my worries, to be very honest with you. My biggest worry is, how do we get the numbers at the end of the night? How do we read P&L reports? You know what I mean? All that's very important. And he taught me.
A chef say this to me, you know, and I've been in finance 23 years now. And, you know, we all know in finance that a restaurant is going to be one of the most likely businesses to fail. And I think it's exactly for those things that you're pointing out right now.
Exactly. I he told me this, and we see it like this. If you see a restaurant packed, not this doesn't mean necessarily they're making money, bro. You can see a restaurant packed, line outside. Oh my God, they're very successful. They can probably break an even, or they can probably be in negatives. Why? Because maybe the cooks in the back, they're not controlling, doing portion control, which is very important. Because you're costing out a menu to a certain dollar, but if you're not giving that quantity of food that you cost it out, if you're giving less or more, you're losing money. You know, all those little factors are, it's what makes a restaurant go. You know,
it comes down to the details of literally how much portions you're serving.
So all this stuff, the quality of the food, how do you cost it out? Once it comes out of the truck where the companies bring it to and hits the restaurant, how do we handle it from A to Z? You know, all that matters is just a lot of things behind the scenes. So I think that if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. Even for my first business, I said, I want to open up a catering business. He's like, I'll help you open it up. I'll teach you the logistics of it. And we sat down for many years and many times. I was actually speaking to somebody about this a couple of days ago. I would go on my day off, and I didn't have a day off. It was like an afternoon off. Out of the 7 days, I had an afternoon off. And I would go on my afternoon off with my notebook and take notes and sit there with him. And he was like, these are the questions you ask the clients. You know, you sit with the client and you guide them, especially in a catering. If you sit down with bride and groom, they have no idea where to go. Right. You know what I mean? You're young, a couple getting married. You don't know where to start, you know, and it's normal. That's not their thing. They're trying to throw a huge party, the biggest party of their life. Where do they start? And that's where I come in and plan it for them. And so I did a wedding planner, day of coordinator / caterer. And that business did very well.
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings that the audience knows is rocket science is not hard to rocket scientist. This is clearly your rocket science. Yeah. You know this very, very well. I would imagine, though, that for a creative person, the math of it isn't that sexy, isn't that fun. How did you internalize that part of it? Or was it difficult for you or not difficult to go into all these number crunching?
It wasn't. I was never good in school. And that's why I was like, I need a career where it's more hands-on type of thing. But when it came down to it, and I was like, all right, for me to expand in this industry, I got to get out of the kitchen.
Right.
I got to get out of the kitchen and build the team. So for me to do that, I started getting into numbers, getting into talking to business people. I'm still learning. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the best. I'm still learning. But when, like you said, when you have a passion for it, you'll find a way to learn.
Yeah, and I agree.
It becomes fun to you. It becomes real fun because then you see the numbers, you're breaking down. You're like, oh, shoot, I did this. I know how to do this type of thing. So when you have a passion, that's what it comes down to. You make it work.
When we were at Gozo, you share with me that this was supposed to be a place that was more than a restaurant. It was supposed to be a place for community and a place for people to come to and feel very comfortable and happy there. And I know that you've done things like entrepreneurial nights and a variety of different things. Tell me about the vision around the restaurant.
Yeah, it's a different vision. I mean, you
go. It is. Out, I would agree.
You go to different restaurants right now and. I love it. I mean, when I go out to restaurants myself, I like to go out and there's live music and there's, you know, I'm really into my Mexican roots. I like the banda. I like the norteños. I like all that rowdiness, but it's not my vision for my restaurant. The vision that I had for this one is I wanted to be able to have the same crowd that I had when I had the catering business and the private dinner business. They were all high-end individuals. You know, you had business owners, you had people that were middle class, upper class, people that were millionaires. And I was sitting down serving them. And I was like, I need a place where I can open, where they can come to me now instead of me going to them all the time. And then also being able to serve the community around, you know, make a menu that's good food with comfortable pricing, but that you can come and sit down with your wife on a date, with your girlfriend, with your kids and your wife and sit down and enjoy a nice dinner with a nice glass of wine, a nice drink, a nice beer, and compliment good service. And just that's the vision I had. And then when I started to see, okay, I'm going to bring everything that I learned from the other two businesses that did me well, I'm going to bring it here. You know, I used to run events. Okay, so why can't I run events here? Why can't I use this restaurant as a venue? You know, so I started using this restaurant as a venue, creating customized menus for the clients, customized drink menus, and then offering them to them. And it's a win-win for them too. It's like, oh, shoot. You know what I mean? So I started implementing everything that I learned from the past and putting it here, and it's kept us up and running for the past couple months.
Yeah, and I think you're very forward in that idea. I think that as we evolve in entertainment, also evolves, customized experiences mean more than a routine, if you will. I think that people are so overwhelmed with social media images and things that they crave these unique spaces and unique experiences. So I think that you're spot on in that idea and what you're creating at Gozo. I saw a thing where you said that you will never put your title on your chef coat. Yes. Tell me about that. Why?
It goes back to the same man. Yeah, it goes back to the same Jesus. I'm wearing a chef coat right now. It doesn't have my title. It has my logo, which
the company logo,
Chef Miguel Reyes. But you will never see a chef coat that says executive chef, that says business owner, that even has my name on it. For the same reason that I've been growing in the industry, growing as a person, as an adult, and maturing, I feel like a title for me means nothing. Okay. A lot of people feel like you need a title to feel a certain way. You know what I mean? And I don't believe in it. I believe that if you are who you are, and if you make an impact on somebody's life, it's going to be Miguel. It's not going to be the chef. Because at the end of the day, I take off my chef coat and I'm Miguel. I put it on and I'm still Miguel. The word chef is not going to define me of who I am and what impact I make on other people's lives. If I take off the chef coat and you call me over to your house, you say, "Hey, chef, I got some steaks. I can cook them for you. I don't have to have the chef coat on. I know I can cook." You know what I mean? So that's what it is, bro. I never really liked titles. I know titles are part of business. You have to have them. You have to assign a general manager. You have to assign an executive chef. You have to assign a lead cook. It's part of the business. But for me, titles has never been something that I will carry with me, or you're never going to see a name tag on me with the title. It's never been like that. I know for business purposes, you have to. But for me, on my end, the way I see it is, if you're going to make an impact on somebody, if you're going to make an impact on your team, if you're going to blow up, it's going to be because of the person that you are, not because there's a title or there's a certificate on the wall, there's a degree on the wall. I mean, at the end of the day, you can have all those and do nothing with it, or you can have nothing and do a lot with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think that it shows more confidence when you don't need a title to rely on. And, you know, you have that confidence of being exactly who you are. So I appreciate that about you. I did notice, though, that at least in one of your chef coats, there was a religious verse printed on the back of it. Is your faith a very important part of you as a man, as a chef, as a business owner?
Absolutely. I think it has to do a lot with just believing in God. And really, at the end of the day, for me, it's one of my old chef coats. It has Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, and I strongly believe in the foundations. You know, growing up in a Christian household, those are the foundations, man. I think even has nothing to do really with religion. It has to do with just trusting in God and putting him first in whatever project you have in life. And I think that if you put him first in that season that you're in life, I think it would for sure prosper.
I love that. That's the quote right now. I love that. That's a good one. When you put it in the season that you're in at that time, I think that having recently gone through COVID, a lot of, you know, in a lot of restaurants, a lot of people in your industry suffered and failed and just completely went out of business. You know, it is something that, I don't know. Well, I don't think that we'll ever in our lifetime experience something globally like that, where every person in the planet was connected to it. But to your point, in terms of seasons, now we're coming out of that and not kind of being anchored or dragged down by those moments. It's super important in as we transition from one thing to the next. So yeah. I think that's really cool. What is, in your perspective, the American dream?
To be transparent with you, I think it's whatever makes you happy in life would be an American dream, you know, not necessarily a certain job or a certain amount of money or a certain number on your bank account or on your check, how many zeros you have. I think is if you're doing something that you love and you're waking up every morning wanting to go do it, I think that would be, for me, that would be the American dream. You know, I know many people that are ridiculous and bawling out and unhappy.
Yeah.
And you know, people that are living paycheck to paycheck and they're traveling. you know what I mean? It just depends. I don't think money or success or a job or a career have anything to do with it. I think if you're happy, genuinely happy with what you have and you're blessed with it, I mean, I think you hit the lottery with that one.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, 100%. The godfather of like motivational speaking, and his name is Earl Nightingale. And this guy was a manager at a mattress store, and he started this whole industry of motivation and self, you know, kind of thing. And then he essentially concludes in this speech that made him famous, that being happy or being successful is being happy and doing the things you said you would do. So yeah, it's sort of that satisfaction of, I intended to do this, and then I'm either working towards it, or I've done it, or I'm accomplishing it. And I agree, man. I think that is true happiness. Having worked in wealth management for so many years, and in finance for 23 years, I've seen, like you said, all paths of people and ways and decisions that have been made. But at the end of the day, I saw this quote recently that said, "Do the things that bring you freedom." And then I started reflecting on that idea of do the things that bring you freedom. And I thought, well, that's really a path to happiness, is to feel free, to feel comfortable, to feel that you're okay in the space that you're in. And I think that if we focus more as people in that, and that could be for you working six and a half days a week, right? Now, somebody would say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to work 6.5 days a week and then one afternoon off, go take notes at Chef Jesus' place. It doesn't sound to me like you were unhappy doing that. It sounds like you were thrilled to be doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I was paying my dues, you know, I was paying my dues. And I think that people ask me this, at least in this industry, I can speak for it very well. Young chefs or young guys that want to come in and what recommendation, where should I go work? I was, you know what? Go wash dishes. Start from the bottom up. Do what other people won't do. You know, go work long hours. I mean, I did it way before I met Jesus. I worked the long hours. When I was a dishwasher, I remember, perfect example, I was working in Acapulco and I would work from 9 to 2. And the dinner shift starts at 4. So from, I think it was 2 to 2:30, in that little gap frame, I would sit down, eat something real quick. I would change my apron, put a new one on, and jump in to help the cooks. And the chef there would be like, "Hey, you clocked out already?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I clocked out at 2 o'clock. He said, "But I can't pay you." I was like, "I'm not asking you to pay me. I want to learn." So I would work from 4 p.m. to like 10:30, 11 p.m., another full shift off the clock. You know what I mean? And I was 19 years old. And I was like, dude, I love this. I want to pursue this. And from there, I moved on to working to a different location. I went to Cal Poly Pomona University. I met a chef there. He's like, "You like this? You love this? I recommend you to go study and go to school and get your degree. You might need it one day." And I mean, I went out, I got my degree, I have my title as a chef, and I never really used it.
No one ever asked for it.
No, because a couple years after that, I opened up my own business. Like, and the only time they asked for it was when I went to go work for a school. I was the high school teacher for 3 years at Pomona Unified.
Fantastic. You know, Kobe Bryant was so dedicated to his craft and so insanely motivated to seek these levels of perfection that he wasn't a great teammate. Is that something you suffer from because of all the dedication you put into you and building yourself?
No, I've learned from other people that I've seen not to be that. And that's a good question, because I see what didn't work for me growing up in the industry and how sometimes maybe the old school mentality was affecting me as a young chef. And I was like, "Oh shoot." When I get there, if I ever get there, I'm not going to be like that. And I feel like right now I'm more of a team player than anything. Just a perfect example. Last week I told one of the cooks here, I was like, "Hey, don't put a dishwasher tonight." So, "Oh, why not? Who's going to wash dishes? Who's going to close up tonight?" I'll do it, dude. I'll jump in and do it. You know what I mean? So here in the restaurant, the servers see me picking up plates, see me serving, see me sweeping and mopping with them, sweeping the outside of the restaurant, making it look nice. When I'm in the kitchen, I'm sometimes cooking, I'm sometimes prepping, sometimes washing dishes. I close every day, so I'm the one that has to be sweeping and mopping every day. So I think it's more of a leading with example, building a team around that, And I think more than not being a team player, I don't really think it works. It's old school, and it doesn't work nowadays, I feel like.
I agree with you, but I also know that it happens very often. And people kind of want to do what was done to them and pass that on. And it's a bad thing to pass on, really.
Yeah, it really is. Especially if you want to grow and blow up a business. But besides blowing up business, grow a strong team, you have to be in the trenches with them every day. Yeah. Every day. I'm here every day. And I tell the team every day, I was like, we have to, regardless if 10 people show up or we get packed out, we have to continue to stay on grounded.
That's amazing. I appreciate that. Well, Chef, you have given us a lot more than I thought you were going to give us, especially around the finance and around your story and around entrepreneurism and building a business. And that's exactly what this show is all about. You know, we try to bring stories, or I try to bring stories to the people that are inspiring, of people that I meet in my daily life that I think are somebody that's going to add value. And you're the first chef on the show, and I appreciate you being here. Tell the people how they can find your restaurant, how they can find you, your socials, your address, your email, whatever you want to give out.
You got it, brother. So for my Instagram, my personal Instagram, which is business also, is chef_Miguel Reyes. And then I have the link there to the restaurant, which is at Gozo Kitchen and Lounge. You can either or find both of them, and they're linked together. So I think those are the only ones that I use right now that are up to date.
All right, guys, this is it for this one. We'll catch you on the next one.